What is mind and what is the limitations of the mind? When we are in this journey of understanding the nature of reality, there will always come a point at which the mind fails and the mind simply cannot go any further. In a podcast that I recently did, this was one of the topics that I addressed. So watch till the end to understand the limitations of the mind when it comes to spirituality and comprehending the nature of reality.
For very long, I thought that reality was something that we could totally comprehend with the mind. So that was what I actually thought, and that is how I started exploring these scriptures and different books and different teachers, etc. And even after I found Advaita Vedanta, at least for some time, I thought that the philosophy itself is absolute and ultimate. But the nature of reality and the nature of God is a concept that is so far out of reach of human intellect that when we try to bring it into language, right, it is bound to become limited. It is bound to be, you know, misrepresented in some way.
It's I've been saying this little thing recently, which is the physical is spiritual and the spiritual is physical.
Yeah.
One and the same. And it's interesting because I feel like our day and age, we're starting to get like breadcrumbs that allude to this possibility, in the sense that like one of my kids got a virtual reality headset thing. And some of the stuff that you can do on that is very immersive. Like it feels like you're in it. And as technology advances, it's like, okay, it's going to become more and more possible to inhabit simulated realities. And then it's like,
yeah, which is just like this.
Just like this. It's almost like a hint or something reality's giving us that.
And if we think about it, right, like if we think about it deeply, what is to say that this is not a virtual reality? Even I think Elon Musk and people like, they are saying this. Like, what is to say that this is not a simulation? It is easily possible, right? Like to say, we are totally dependent on our sensory organs and sensory inputs to conceive reality. And the Matrix movie could be actually true. Even intellectually speaking, like there is no reason why this cannot be a case. But yeah, but what Advaita Vedanta argues is your nature is beyond this matrix. But right now, with your identification, you are stuck in this matrix. That is what it says.
It's interesting, the notion that God has forgotten who they are. And I try to weigh that against the fact that there's other people, right? Like sometimes you say it's like God forgotten who he is, but also everything is God. And it's like, well, which one of us is God? You know, which one of us is the real avatar? And but it's you know, I don't think God is beholden to like the same rules that our limited mind thinks about, right? So
this is where we come to the limitation of the mind. Yeah.
Exactly. Limitation of the mind, which brings me into my sort of next question for you, because I'm loving everything you're saying. And I think there's a lot, it's making a lot of sense. But so given this, you know, realization, and you've looked at the, you know, Advaita Vedanta and decided it's a good religion or whatever. In the end, have you actually had a mystical experience as a result of maybe doing some of the practices involved or through doing self-inquiry, has it actually led to any mystical experiences for you personally?
No mystical experience such. No mystical experiences as such. But the more I go into this philosophy, the more I meditate, the more I contemplate on the nature of reality, the more I'm realizing that this philosophy, what it is telling, is the truth. It is not a faith for me. It is becoming more and more real to me. But and coming to your point, right? There are different approaches to spirituality in Hinduism. There are philosophies of Tantra and there are Kashmiri Shaivism. There are different other approaches and yoga, which focus on having a mystical experience. Yeah. Advaita Vedanta particularly, nowhere in the path it guarantees a mystical experience, because this is an intellectual inquiry. So we are not doing any practices as such. We are not... doing any techniques as such, right? This is a philosophical inquiry. In Hinduism, there are different approaches. Through mystical experiences also, you can grasp the nature of reality. And instead of that, this is called Jnana Marga, the path of intellectual realization. This is purely intellectual in nature. We just contemplate on the nature of reality. We study the scriptures. We go deeper and deeper. And at some point, we break open the matrix and we go beyond it. Yeah, that is how it is.
Is there some degree of trust then for the people that are pursuing some of the mystical stuff? Because, like, I just want to be a little careful here. I mean everything I say with complete respect. But in one of your videos, which is very interesting, you talked about past lives and you kind of broke down knowledge of past lives. And that was so interesting to me. And the question that arose to me was like, well, how do they know? Where did this information of past lives or an afterlife or any of this stuff, where does it come? Because I don't remember my past lives necessarily, unless, you know, I'm off in my imagination. But to nail down something solid, how do you come to terms with claims about the past life? Like, what validates claims about that? Or is that something that you have your own thoughts on?
So coming to different aspects of it, right? When it comes to the things that are not in my experience yet, I try to study them from reliable sources. And for all these questions, I tend to go to Swami Vivekananda's works. And there are 10 books which covers the entire life of Swami Vivekananda. And I have them and I keep exploring them. And I suggest you read them because they're,
Maybe we should put a link to that or something.
Sure. I can share it with you. And they're really amazing. What Swami Vivekananda says is very simple on this case. He says that it is accessible to us, that memory is deep-seated. It is accessible to us, but one has to go through elaborate practices or elaborate, states of elaborate, methods of meditation, etc., to access them. Yeah. And for the question of why do I don't remember them, he says that you don't even remember what you ate yesterday. So how are you supposed to remember something that happened thousands of years ago, right?
Right.
Forgetting something is natural to us. And the nature has, created it in such a way that because once we remember all of the experiences that we have been through, it actually becomes a burden for us because for the few decades that we live in this world, imagine the amount of trauma people carry, imagine the amount of pain and suffering they go through. Someone did this to me 10 years back and I suffer that today. Imagine if we could remember all the things of thousands of years, imagine that a mind cannot handle it. But these yogis and rishis who have total control over their mind and body, and once they go deep enough, all those memories become accessible to them because they can handle it. So for most of us, it is good that we don't have access to it. But it is said that it is actually Swami Vivekananda makes it as a challenge. You come to me, I will if you are patient enough, I can show you how you can access these memories. Yeah.
Super interesting. When approaching kind of like the Upanishads or the Vedas and stuff like that, we've done some reaction videos on some of that content and people have left comments saying like, you got to be cautious at how you like approach this stuff because like, if you don't do it without the right teacher or if you do this wrong, you can like make yourself go crazy. What are your thoughts on that? Like, because I understand, like, there's a lot there. There's a lot of information, from what I understand, inside of all of these ancient scriptures. What would you say to someone who's new, coming to this and approaching this?
Yeah. So it is always recommended that you study this with a teacher or a guru. And the good thing today is there are people online who are teaching this, and there are there are very good teachers who are doing this online and in different languages. People, whatever their native languages, especially the Indian languages and English and Hindi, there are different teachers who are doing it. And this danger of, going in the wrong way in spirituality is, I think it is more in other approaches of other philosophies and other approaches, because when we explore tantra and yoga, you are using your body and you are using different postures, you are using breathing techniques, which are very dangerous if we don't understand how to do it. And many people have, you know, gotten into difficult situations because of, you know, misunderstanding and misimplementing these teachings. But Advaita Vedanta is it's an intellectual exercise, right? Either without a teacher, you might not fully understand it, but just by understanding it slightly in the wrong way, of course, you need to understand this in the right way to go in the right direction. But this is not as dangerous as you know, certain other approaches. But it is always recommended to seek professional help.
Makes sense. How many things in real life do you just jump into without getting some kind of a heads up about what to expect and everything, right?
Got it.
Hello there. If you wish to understand the true nature of reality and learn about consciousness, conscious creation, and the teachings of the ancient Vedanta in order to live your life with purpose, achieve fulfillment, and consciously create a life that you truly want to live, then you can join our community Come Learning platform, the Advaita Conscious Society. For more information, visit advaita.com. Thank you.